All right, so ready to like dive in.
Always.
Okay, good. Because today we're going to try to wrap our heads around air traffic control. Like, it's one of those things you never really think about until they announce your flight is delayed again.
Right.
But behind the scenes, it's this whole intricate system. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. All those planes up in the air, like, how do they not just crash into each other constantly? We're going to like peel back the curtain on all of that today. We've got a really in-depth Wikipedia article on air traffic control, and then this training presentation we found, it gets into the nitty-gritty of radar communication
The
protocols.
tech side of things.
Yeah, exactly. Should be interesting.
It really is a fascinating blend of human expertise and technology.
And you'd think that's something so important, it would always been super high tech, but well, get this. The very first air traffic control tower was literally a wooden hut.
Yeah, at Croydon Airport back in 1920.
Wooden hut. Seriously, that's wild.
It kind of puts things into perspective. Even back then, in the early days of aviation, they knew how crucial air traffic control would be, to prevent those mid-air collisions. Of course, back then they had a guy up there with like binoculars, basically, directing traffic from a glorified garden shed, basically. I can't even imagine.
Talk about pressure. So how did that even work when things got busy? Just like waving their arms more frantically.
Pretty much. They used a lot of visual signaling, flags, lights, even colored paddles. Anything to establish some basic communication and separation between aircraft, especially during takeoffs and landings, that was key. But as air traffic increased, well, you can imagine the limitations.
Yeah, not exactly scalable.
Right, it became pretty clear they needed a more robust system.
And that's where all this amazing technology comes in.
Exactly. That paved the way for the radar-based air traffic control we rely on today.
Okay, perfect segue. Let's talk about what air traffic control actually is. Because I think a lot of us have this simplistic view of, people in a tower telling planes when to land, but it's way more than that, right?
Definitely more to it. I mean, at its core, it's about safety. Preventing those mid-air collisions, of course, but also orchestrating the flow of air traffic as smoothly as possible.
So like an air traffic jam.
Exactly. Imagine a highway in the sky, but instead of cars, it's planes. You need strict rules, tons of coordination, constant communication.
To prevent that midair fender bender.
Precisely. And a big part of that is assisting pilots, giving them the information they need throughout their flight.
So it's not just like barking orders, it's more collaborative than that.
Absolutely. It's more of a partnership between controllers and pilots.
Okay, I like a partnership.
Think of it like a carefully choreographed dance, with the air traffic controllers as the choreographers, guiding those aircraft through the airspace as safely and efficiently as possible.
I love that analogy.
And just like a dance has different parts or segments, air traffic control has different levels, each with a specific area of responsibility.
Okay, let's break those levels down because this is where I think things might get a little fuzzy for people.
Sure, so you've got your airport towers,
Yeah.
the most recognizable part, those iconic towers with the panoramic windows. They're responsible for managing the airspace immediately around the airport.
Yeah, the planes on the ground and then like during takeoff and landing,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Then, a little further out, you have terminal radar approach control facilities. We call them TRACON.
Tracons. Got it.
They handle a larger radius around the airport, guiding aircraft as they climb to cruising altitude or when they're descending to land.
So it's like the airport tower hands off control to the Tracon once the plane's a certain distance away.
Yep, seamless transition.
Okay.
And then finally, overseeing it all, you have area control centers. They manage the high altitude airspace between airports over vast regions. We're talking like entire states, even countries.
Wow.
It's a massive coordinated effort, all to keep things moving smoothly up there.
It's amazing to think about all those layers of control from the tower to the Tracon to these massive area control centers.
It's a system that's constantly evolving, too,
Oh, yeah.
especially when you look at the technology involved.
Speaking of technology, this training presentation we found, it really dives into the whole world of radar, which is fascinating. I mean, most of us, we know it exists, but how it actually works to keep planes safe, it's like magic.
Well, it's not magic, but it is pretty ingenious.
Okay, so demystify it for us. What is radar?
So basically, radar works by sending out radio waves and by measuring how long it takes for those waves to bounce back after hitting something.
Hitting a plane.
Right. Well, anything, really.
Yeah.
But in this case, yeah, usually a plane. So that information, the time it takes for that signal to return, it tells the controller the distance and direction of that object.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like echolocation almost.
Exactly.
But radar doesn't tell you everything, does it? Like how high up a plane is.
Good point. That's where transponders come in.
Oh, right. Those things.
Yeah, so every plane has one. Basically, it's a little radio broadcaster. When it receives a signal from a radar station, it sends back its own signal with identifying information about the aircraft.
So like, hey, it's me, flight 123. I'm at this altitude heading this way.
Exactly. Altitude, call sign, speed, all that important stuff.
So it's like a two-way conversation happening all the time.
Right. And that's what gives controllers a much more complete picture of what's happening up there, especially when pilots can't actually see each other, you know, at night or in clouds or when they're miles apart.
Yeah. Suddenly I'm feeling a lot less nervous about my next flight.
That's the goal.
Okay, so we've got radar, transponders. This training presentation also mentions something called ADS-B. What is that all about? It sounds pretty important.
It is. It stands for Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. Basically, you can think of it like a next-generation transponder system.
Okay, so even more information being shared.
That's the idea. With ADS-B, equipped aircraft, they're not just responding to radar signals. They're constantly broadcasting their own position, altitude, speed, even their intended flight path.
No way.
To ground stations and to each other.
Wait, so other planes can see them too? It's like each plane has its own little GPS signal or something.
You got it.
That's wild.
And because ADS-B relies on satellites, it can provide coverage even in areas where radar is limited. Like, think about flying over the ocean.
Oh, right. Makes sense.
This tech is a game changer.
So safer and more efficient air travel, what's not to love?
Exactly.
It's incredible how much technology plays a role in all of this.
It is, but we can't forget the human element. All this tech is just a tool. It's still the air traffic controllers making the critical decisions every second of every day.
Oh, absolutely. There's no replacing human judgment, especially when it comes to something as high stakes as air traffic.
It's about that balance, you know? Technology and human expertise.
I'd love to see what it's actually like inside one of those control towers. I mean, it's got to be pretty intense in there.
Oh, you have no idea. Picture this. You're in this darkened room surrounded by screens, right? And those screens, they're just filled with a constant stream of data. Every blip is an aircraft. You're tracking its position, altitude, speed. You're monitoring weather patterns. And you're responsible for maintaining separation between, like, dozens of aircraft at a time.
I'm getting stressed just thinking about it.
And all while coordinating with the pilots, with other controllers, with ground personnel.
It's like the ultimate multitasking job.
You could say that again.
And then on top of all that, you've got to be able to communicate clearly and concisely, because one misheard word, one garbled transmission, it could have
huge consequences.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I guess they have that very specific language they use in air traffic control. I remember reading about that.
Absolutely. Clarity is key. That's why they use standardized phraseology, phonetic alphabets.
You mean like Alpha, Bravo, Charlie?
Exactly. Everything is designed to minimize ambiguity, ensure everyone's on the same page, no room for misinterpretation.
Wow. Even just the language itself is fascinating.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And then there are those unique call signs they use for each aircraft.
Oh, right, right. So each plane has its own, like, code name almost.
Basically, usually a combination of letters and numbers, it helps controllers and pilots quickly identify specific aircraft during those radio transmissions. Again, it's all about eliminating confusion and maintaining order, especially in busy airspace.
It's like a secret language. I'm going to have to pay closer attention next time I'm on a flight, see if I can pick up on any of this.
You should.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised how much is going on behind the scenes of your average flight.
I'm already surprised. This has been so eye-opening. I mean, we've covered so much ground here. The history, the tech, the human factor.
It's a lot to take in.
It really is. But I'm also curious about the future. What are some of the biggest challenges facing air traffic control these days? Where is all of this headed?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that's only going to get bigger is the sheer volume of air traffic.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, more people flying every year, more planes in the air. It's got to put a strain on the whole system.
Exactly. More planes mean more complexity for controllers, longer wait times for passengers, higher risk of delays. In airspace, you have to remember, it's a limited resource.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out how to accommodate all this growth, but still keep everything safe and efficient, that's a huge challenge.
Yeah. And it's not just about adding more planes, right? I mean, our Wikipedia article talked about the aging infrastructure, outdated radar systems, things like that.
Oh, yeah. Modernization is crucial. And I'm not just talking about keeping up with the times, but really laying the groundwork for the future of air traffic control.
And that future probably looks a lot like ADS-B, at least from what I'm gathering here.
It's a big piece of the puzzle, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, with ADS-B, you've got planes broadcasting their exact positions, their intentions. You could potentially fit more planes into the same airspace safely.
Right, because everything's so much more precise.
Yeah, exactly. And that allows for what's called performance-based navigation, where aircraft can fly more direct routes. I'm talking like curved paths, instead of being limited to those straight lines dictated by older navigation systems.
So shorter flight times, less fuel consumption.
All of that. It's a win-win.
It does make you wonder, though, about the role of the air traffic controller in all of this. I mean, with all this automation, are we heading toward a future where pilots are just along for the ride and the computers are really doing all the work?
It's a big question. Definitely sparks a lot of debate. Some experts do envision a future with fully automated air traffic control. I'm talking like planes flying themselves from takeoff to landing, guided by some super advanced algorithms.
I feel like we're already halfway there, to be honest. Some of those autopilot systems are pretty incredible.
Oh, for sure, the technology's there. But the question remains, what happens to the human element? What happens to the air traffic controllers?
Right, because even if a plane can basically fly itself, you still need someone to keep an eye on things, make sure everything's running smoothly.
Exactly. And that's where I think that human expertise is always going to be essential, at least for the foreseeable future. Air traffic control, it's about so much more than just following pre-programmed instructions. It's about adaptability, critical thinking. You need a human brain to make those split-second decisions when something unexpected happens.
So you're not worried about robots taking over your job just yet?
Not quite. I think it's more likely that we'll see a shift in roles rather than a complete replacement of humans by machines.
Makes sense.
Like, instead of managing individual aircraft, air traffic controllers might take on these more strategic roles. You know, overseeing the entire system, monitoring for potential conflicts, intervening only when absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
Someone put it to me like this once, like, imagine a conductor leading an orchestra. You've got all these talented musicians, you need that conductor to bring it all together, right?
I like that. So the air traffic controller becomes the conductor of the airspace.
Exactly.
And this isn't just happening on a local level either, right? I mean, we've been talking about all these different layers of air traffic control, but this is a global system.
That's another big challenge, for sure. Ensuring that everything is coordinated on an international level.
Yeah.
You've got different regulations, different technologies, different languages even. There's a lot of room for things to get lost in translation.
It's amazing it works as well as it does. When you really think about it,
It really is. It's a testament to how important those international collaborations are.
this whole conversation has been eye-opening. Next time I'm at the airport, I'm going to be looking up at those planes with a whole new perspective.
That's a whole different world up there.
It really is. Well, thanks for taking us behind the scenes of that world. It's been fascinating.
My pleasure. Happy flying.